Like, if you don't train, bro, don't talk to me about it. Don't talk to me about it. I won't. Like, I'll just let you believe what you're going to believe, and I'm going to go about my day.
Yeah.
But, like the people at Muay Thai, I'll talk to them about, like, what I'm starting to figure out and noticing, because they're going to be able to add on to that. They're going to be able to have value to it. But just the average dude that sees red and watches UFC, nah, bro, you can't talk to me, bro, because those are the same dudes that are like, oh, ground game's boring, but also don't know how dangerous that shit can be.
Yeah, yeah.
It just really depends. Like, my boy at work, nah, like, I know he's been to some street fights, but...
What do you think the biggest difference between, like, a street fight and a normal fight is? I can't say normal fight, like a street fight. And let's just say, like, a sanctioned MMA fight. What do you think the biggest difference is?
The biggest difference?
Yeah.
The pretty much, like, you can't control what's going to happen in a street fight. If his homie jumps in, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, in a sanctioned fight, boxing, UFC, that's just never going to happen. Like there's been the few instances where the corner attacks the boxer or something like that, or Khabib jumping over the cage, but 99% of the time, that shit doesn't happen. In a street fight, that shit happens a lot.
You know,
and no weapons.
We talked about it briefly. It was that UFC, not the Karate Combat, where the president choked out the dude.
Yeah.
You see that? I think we talked about it.
I think we talked about it, but I never seen the video.
I got to show you the video, but essentially, yeah, same thing. Dude jumps up on the podium, like on a pit in Karate Combat. Part of the other team points out and then, like, runs over it, and, like, the dude ends up choking him out, putting him to sleep on, like, live television shit. It's kind of wild.
That is kind of wild, but at the same time, it's the owner, right?
Yeah, it's the owner of Karate Combat. Or the president, not the owner, the president.
Why you wilding out at his event? I would have choked you out too, bro. I put on this event, this good show, and you guys start acting, you know?
Yeah, and you know,
unkept.
I think that's the ego, right? I always talk about ego, and you know, it's probably one of my biggest battles.
So fighting's usually gonna come down to ego, you know. But what in life doesn't? Dude? What in life doesn't? Me and my brother, love my brother to death. We have an ego based beef where we're always like, if we compete, whenever we have him on the podcast, I guarantee you, he's gonna be like, I'll fuck him up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ego thing.
He's coming on the next episode, right? Is that RG we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we had to reschedule.
Shout out to Steve and Lissa for having their baby.
Yeah, I've been running wild. I've been meaning to send a message to Steve 100% say congratulations. So, Potipens, congratulations on,
yeah, dude,
you know, the new little one. We're going to get some claps on that.
Yeah, January 12th. That's what's up, dude. Huge hands.
He's got big hands?
Yeah, he's going to be big, dude. He's going to be big.
Oh, man. He's got
big ass hands.
I don't even want to deal with it, man.
I don't know, dude. That family puts him on the mat pretty young.
I'm going to tap out now. You know, that kind of talks us into our topic of the episode, surrendering, tapping out, and jiu-jitsu. How it's applicable in jiu-jitsu, how it's applicable in life, and there are some ways in which, you know, as much as we don't want to, we got to tap out, and where it's pragmatic for us to tap out. So, with that said, you tapping out?
I'm gonna be real with you, dude. As much as I love jiu-jitsu, it's not something I can do all day, every day, like, especially now, mm-hmm. you know? So, of course, I'm gonna tap out. But if it was just like a life or death situation when it's not an option, mm-hmm. no, I'm not. But, like, in training, knowing I gotta work tomorrow, knowing, yeah, I'll tap out. It's not a big deal to me. And especially because, like, especially after you've submitted so many people, it gets to the point, like, it just happens in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead.
No.
Do you, let me ask you something, because I was thinking about this recently. When you rank yourself in jiu-jitsu, do you do it based upon belt? Do you do it based upon, like, an individual thing? Like, how do you grade yourself?
I try and be as honest as possible with myself whenever mm-hmm. it comes to, like, jiu-jitsu and my skill set. But honestly, I don't really look at belts and get super scared anymore, because there's a lot that goes into belts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could have just been in jiu-jitsu and have the knowledge and you're a great teacher, but your body's not what it used to be, and you're not extremely, like you can't move the way you used to be. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I more rank myself or, like, compare myself to certain styles. Like, I know I struggle with certain styles more than others. I know, like, I try and look at, like, where I'm good at, where I'm not good at. Like a video game attribute, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
Like that. That's kind of how I rank myself. But like, when I say where do I rank? Like, are you talking about where do I rank myself amongst the jiu-jitsu community as a whole?
Yeah, I guess like as a whole. Like, I wasn't saying as a whole because that's too broad. But like, I think the only
nowhere near the top.
I think the only real way you can even like rank yourself as if you're going out to open mats and, you know, training with other people at different belt levels and stuff like that. The only real way you could rank yourself on a local level, I don't think you can even do it on a world level unless you're out there competing in, you know.
Yeah, I think in almost any tournament, for the most part, in any given match, I'm someone that would need to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. But do I think I'm, like right now, do I think I'm an ADCC champion? No, not even fucking close. Not even close. Too many holes in my game. Cardio issues.
What about an IBJJF world champion? Because now we're talking age brackets. We're talking about different categories that you can also kind of get ahead on.
You know what's crazy, dude? I've never done an IBJJF.
Really? Okay.
Never.
I say that like I've done it. I've never done one either.
I've never done an IBJJF, so I really don't know, but at the end of the day, it's the world, man. Like, you really don't know. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. I know Archie's done some IBJJFs, and he's done decently well, mm-hmm. you know? But he's never, like, did he medal? I don't know. He might have medaled. I'm not going to say if he did or didn't. I don't exactly remember, but
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I do like the one-and-done IBJJF. I like that. It makes my life so much happier.
So, like, right now, I can say it and be like, yeah, I'm not, I don't think, because I'm not, like, competing right now. Like, mm-hmm. it's not on my list of things coming up. It's not on my list of things that I'm doing. But whenever I get into that mode and I start, like, training to compete, mm-hmm. I don't tell myself that. I tell myself I'm the champion every day leading up, and it's kind of like... It's just kind of difficult, you know? Because yeah. I know if I was training for that shit, I'd start trying to gas myself up to where mentally I walked in, and I know that one and done would piss me off.
Mm.
That shit would make me so fucking mad. That shit would make me so mad.
That's funny. I don't care how like deep down the rabbit hole of training I'm in. At the end of the day, if I can be done with one match... Granted, I want to win, so I don't want to, like, one and done and, like, lose. But the idea of, like, if I did lose, it's just like, all right, let's go get some Chick-fil-A. Let's do it.
Nah, dude, nah. So the thing is I'm such a fat boy. This is what I think about. I was like, dude, I just missed out on months of not eating what I want, not eating how I like, eating stuff that, like, it tastes good, but it's not a double cheeseburger, you know? And yeah. that's how I'm going to take it into account. And I'm like, to lose in my first match, mm-hmm. I'd be mad, dude.
Okay.
I'd be mad. And I couldn't be mad at anyone but me, but I'd still be mad.
Okay. You mentioned earlier about video games. Where do you put your skill points? And we'll use it. I'll give you an overall example. Close guard, open guard, half guard, mount, back control. Where do you put your skill points in submissions?
Damn, you're splitting
up
the cards.
Do you put your skill points in submissions? Like, where do you put your skill points in your development?
I'm going to rebut this question to say, who's to say how many skill points I even have or had?
I mean, I think, you know, skill points are relative.
Like days? Is each day a skill point?
I think skill points, it's going to be, I don't think there's a conclusive way to be like, oh, X amount of skill points. There's no way you can do that, right?
Okay.
But I think
priority.
But exactly, where do you prioritize, and do you prioritize based upon where do you feel you're lacking? Do you prioritize like, you know what? I just want to learn this, and this is good. Where, you know, it could be strength and conditioning. Do you need to get stronger? Where do you put your skill points?
So I'm not going to lie. Adding strength has never been something that I've really cared to do in jiu-jitsu for real. Just because I spent, like, a long time in football gyms. Like, I'm not the strongest in the world, but I'm far from the opposite.
You're pretty strong, bro.
You know? Like, so
you're pretty. Don't discourage yourself.
I leave that where it is. Like, okay. I don't really focus on it as much. For me, maintaining flexibility is probably one of the biggest skill points that I like to keep, that I like to maintain. Close guard. Just because in the heavier weights, vying for time is, and like recovery is a big thing, and you can't really do it with an open guard. Like, it's harder to lock them down. And then I'd pretty much go from there. Like, open guard, I'm not gonna lie, everyone knows I hate half guard. Hate it. Ross, hate it.
It's so funny, you know, Jimmy always is like hating on half guard. And I get it. I understand it. I don't think he understands conceptually how I look at half guard. I feel that most people end up just, they want to stay in half guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get good at half guard. They want to stay there. They want to sweep. They want to move from there. Me, I don't. Only reason why I'm in half guard is because I need to vie for time to get to another position.
I acknowledge there's so much you can do from, like certain guards I don't like. It's just because it's hard for me to get there.
Yeah.
And, like, half guard's not necessarily hard for me to get there. I just don't like how I have to move in there, like, when I'm in it.
Yeah.
Like, those, like, little mini jumps, I don't really like that. I don't know why I don't like it. X guard, whenever I can get there, love it. I'm so much longer than most people that X guard is just kind of
simple for you.
Not simple. Like, if I try and go for it, they just kind of fall over or they bail out. They find a way to bail out. So I've never got the chance to really work X guard.
Okay.
Shit like that.
Also, but
we're going to stay on that one because I want to know.
You want to know what?
Where do you put your attributes?
Oh, yeah. Let me circle by that. I want to say something else about half guard.
I do like that sweep you showed me.
Excuse me. Which one?
The pretty much.
Oh, where you go under?
Yeah, from underneath.
Yeah. I like that one, especially on wrestlers, because wrestlers love to spam that wizard and just hold on to it and hold on to all you want, but you're going right over the other side. What?
Wrestlers are just such a problem. Shout out, you know,
Coach Rico.
Yeah,
Rico, dude. Such a problem. Shout out, bro. DJ Duh. No, I was gonna say about half guard though is like, so I like half guard in the sense of I really only like lockdown half guard. I don't like any other half guard. I'm starting to talking about putting my skill points other places. Back in, I want to say, July of last year, I started trying to develop like my hooks, my half guard hooks, and getting more butterflies and stuff. But even outside of butterflies, just the half guard hook, just the one hook, and being able to maneuver, do knee levers on one leg with the hook and then your other leg trapped around for the half guard, if that makes sense.
No, I feel you. So Archie does something similar. And because his legs are so strong, I've seen him, like, submit people just with the lockdown. Like, it turns into, like, a weird calf slicer when he can get it right. But I don't know. Like, if I can lock people down, I'm usually looking to go to a different guard, dude. I really hate guards where I'm, like, I guess they're sitting on me in a way. Like, half guard, I don't like that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Love butterfly.
I don't like being smashed in the bottom half guard. It's not something I enjoy. What I enjoy about it is that people get so focused and think that I'm getting smashed and don't understand the other things that I'm setting up, which is why I like half guard. Because most people think like, oh, I'm in top half guard. I'm going to dominate you. Unless you can get me flat and I can't get my underhook, which is a really hard thing to do in general.
Yeah.
It's my game. Go ahead.
Nah, there's just certain places I look to get out of immediately that I just don't like, mm-hmm. you know, like whether it be for flexibility reasons, whether it be for just lack of general knowledge in that area. Like, I just look to kind of get out of them as quickly as possible or, like, transition to something I do like. But I know where my attribute points are going when I come back.
Where are they going?
Finishing submissions. Okay. Like, I know how to shoot a good amount of submissions. I'm not going to say every submission. But, like, the ones I like, the one I'm comfortable with, I'm going to just start fine-tuning them and start going for more finishes, you know?
Real quick, is that light on?
Yeah.
I'm just getting nervous.
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm looking to start finishing more when I come back, because I think last time I was in the gym, I talked to George about it. Shout out my boy George too.
Shout out and George.
I love talking to George because I just like the way he delivers his coaching, bro. Mm-hmm. There's no sugarcoating it. He tells you, and I feel like he believes like I believe. At the end of the day, everyone knows themselves. It's just, can they admit it throughout the day?
Yes.
And George was telling me, he's like, you're good at getting to positions. You're good positionally. He's like, now you need to start hounding in like how you're going to get to these finishing positions, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I think whenever I come back, I'm going to be working with George on that.
So is it submissions or is it control? Because you got to control his position.
So that's what he means. I have good control. Like whenever I get top,
okay,
I'm usually not getting swept, bro. Like unless it's whenever I claim top, I usually keep it depending on who I'm going against. But now it's time for me to like really focus in on like trying to get the sub. Yeah.
I get that. This last little run for me was learning how to control positions.
Yeah.
I think this last, I would say, is that an airplane? Sorry. I would say probably since probably since October, September has all been about how do I control top position, not necessarily mount, just because I don't really care. Not that I don't care about mount. I do care about mount, but I understand part of the reason why I don't control mount is because I'm still trying to care about my training partner. I'm not trying to put all my weight. I'm not trying to put all the pressure. And so I'm trying to learn all. Go ahead.
No, I was just disagreeing with you.
What do you mean?
Like I care about my training partner, but train mount, bro.
I feel like a bully anytime I'm just sitting on someone's stomach or chest, and like
they know what they're doing, bro.
I sweat, bro. Like it's like a waterfall. Like it's like you get a shower anytime I'm on top. So like anytime I'm on top of someone, I try to off kilter my head so it's like not directly over them, so it doesn't like drip sweat. But it's gonna happen.
Don't be on bottom. Don't allow yourself to get mounted.
Well, I don't, but they do. Like that, I can't.
Well, that's
like,
what I'm saying. Don't allow yourself to get mounted.
I do let myself get mounted. I get mounted a lot, actually.
Hey, pause, no pause, ditty. Yeah. I was like, it's getting real ditty in here.
Getting mounted by dudes all the time.
That is why I try not to lose top position.
Because you don't want to get mounted by a dude?
Never, dude. Never. Oh. Never in life.
I'm okay with it. Only on Fridays.
No, not.
Today's Friday. Okay.
I'm not okay with it at all, dude. Not okay with it at all.
Pause. No, but in general, that's what I was trying to work on, was just controlling top position. More so side control and top half guard. Because it gets swept a lot in those positions because when I'm overconfident, you know?
Hey, dude, honestly, so speaking of control, it just kind of reminded me of something. One of my first, like, training partners, he was a purple belt. Mm-hmm. Whenever I first started training, his name was Josh, right? Down in San Diego. When he messaged me and he told me that I should start like clubbing my hand to train or like using a tennis ball and taping it together. So that also let me know that he watches a podcast. So shout out Josh, dude. And then one more thing, not only did Josh like get me into wrist locks, like all the dirty shit that I love, Josh.
Shout out Josh. Shout out Josh.
And then side control was fucking terrible, bro. Mount was terrible. And that's one of the reasons why I have that belief. Like, if you don't want to get mounted,
don't get fucking mounted. Bro. What does Archie say? If one man can hold you down, two man can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Archie saying, bro. That's Archie.
Archie, I might put down a t-shirt just a heads up because that's so dope.
He's going to, dude, I'm telling you, Archie's about his bread. He shouldn't have said anything. Now hey, he's going
to He has to go through all the legal stuff and trademark it first.
He got time.
Not enough time. All right, look. I doubt it, but does he have the money and the patience to want to do it? That's a whole legal battle. I'm cool.
Hey, that's the pettiest
I'll take my assistant cease after I make my money.
That's the pettiest person. That's the pettiest person I know, brother. I'm
more petty than me because I'm pretty petty. I'm getting more mature in my old age, though. I'm getting nicer. I let a lot of beefs go that I should body these dudes and walk them straight down, but, you know.
No, that's not Archie's belief at all. Archie.
Wait, how old is Archie?
Archie's the same age as me.
Oh yeah. I just gotta wait him out. He gets older, he'll calm down and be more mature. That's what happens when you get older. You start realizing, man, I was a young dumb fool. I should just chill out and be peaceful and relaxed.
I was just having this conversation with my mom because I was like dealing with the paperwork side of my surgery coming up, mm-hmm. and I was just I started getting annoyed, and I was talking shit on the phone, and my mom's like, you just. She's like, I get it, but come on.
Come on. Yeah, so skill points. I'm going to circle back to that because I kind of got off where I had to put my skill points in. So I think you could say that I put my skill points into top position. From very start of my journey, I always looked at where I was lacking. I think standing has always been the first thing. The biggest thing that stood out to me was going to my first gym when I jumped into my tournament right away. He's like, all right, you're going to have to start standing. I was like, but we don't start standing here. So can I practice standing? So we got like maybe like a class or two of standing in that in the time period for my tournament. So I was very like lacking completely in standing in my first tournament. So after my first tournament, that's where I put a lot of my skill points was standing. How do I get my legs strong enough to be able to change levels? How do I become explosive? And it just happened to be that because there's so much that goes into standing and the strength and conditioning that goes into it, that it kind of overall put skill points into my other game.
Yeah, I'm not even going to lie, dude. Standing, because I've jumped gyms a lot. A lot of gyms don't really work standing.
Yeah.
Because wrestlers are in high demand in the jiu-jitsu community, you know? So, like, I don't know the business side of things, but I try and stay at gyms with some coaches who know some stand-up. Just because it's so important. Because, one, you have to be able to get over that initial shock. If you go into a tournament not knowing what it's like to be thrown, and like for whatever reason you get thrown, you're gonna spend about a good 30 seconds like, what though? Like, what just happened to me?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, dude. That's
even, well, like,
that's bold.
Yeah, it's, I don't believe in having weaknesses. That doesn't mean that I can't have them. That means that once I recognize one, I have to sharpen my blade. Go in head first, whatever it is. And I've always approached my jiu-jitsu that way. That's why it's like, for example, half guard. I was having trouble passing. I went and was like, all right, I need to find a detail. I went to Coach Alex. I was like, hey, Coach Al, hey, I'm having trouble getting past this knee shield with this X, Y, and Z. How should I handle this? He explained it to me. I was able to take it, use it, and now it's in my game, and that's a skill that I have now. And it took less than a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, what Coach Alex says, like, it really is a skill to teach, dude. It really is. It really is. And that's why, like, from the very beginning, I've always told you, like, make sure, and, like, a good teacher will be different to everyone, you know, because everybody's different. Yeah. Who I respond to isn't going to be who you respond to. That's why everyone has their favorite training partners. That's why. So, like, that's, like, and Misfits, Forge, they got some good coaches, dude. Like, I learned a lot in a small role with Rico. Mm-hmm. And I know he was taking it easy on me because my hands, shout out Rico, dude. But I don't know, dude. I just learned a lot about dealing with wrestlers when it comes to just... He was one of the first people I wasn't able to just kind of get that hook on. Whenever he goes for that, like, that... That's like TP pressure, whenever he's mm-hmm. pressuring you down with his, like...
From half guard?
Yeah, whenever you have... He's escaping half guard, and he just kind of TPs up and, like, pressures around. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to bring him down with my hook, and it's just because he's so fucking powerful and confident in his movements and his footing.
He's the embodiment of just stand-up.
Of what?
Just stand-up. You know, and that's something... That's a skill point that everyone should be putting their... I just said stand-up again... but that's a skill point that everyone should be putting their points. You know, y'all know what I'm trying to say is just standing up. The concept of even in top half guard, you can stand up. Like you don't have to try to smash your opponent. And this is why I love half guard, bottom half guard, is because people don't realize that they can stand up. People don't realize that they can back up and disengage. At least not at my level right now. And I feel like I still get that even with purple belts. It's like they don't understand when to like press forward and disengage. Whereas like brown belts and black belts, right? They'll press forward and they'll know, they're like, oh, disengage. I'm like, they know to disengage. I have to like start all over again because they disengaged.
I'll be real with you, dude. I hate doing that shit. What? I hate disengaging.
Oh, I love it.
I hate it. Because it's just different. It's mm-hmm. different. Because I like the flashy shit. I like Baron Bolos. I like, but there are moves that I use. Like, it's like Batman's utility belt. You know, I use them for specific things. You know what I mean? And the reason I don't back out is because a lot of the athletic stuff I like to do, the cartwheels, the tornado passing to the other side, mm-hmm. I do that off of pressuring.
Copy.
You know what I mean? So that's the only reason I don't back up, but there are some guards. There's some guards and some guard players that I'll back up off of.
Yeah.
Just because I know if I press too far forward, I'm going to get swept, bro. Yeah. And I haven't even rolled with him. Tonight's the 19th, dude. Evan's fighting tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Evan's fighting tonight. Shout out to Evan.
He's
going to
win.
I'm going to watch that shit.
We got to watch it, yeah.
What time does it come on?
Shoot, I don't know. I didn't I put it up on the podcast, but that was the most.
Well, we're about to watch that shit. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, King of Subs.
Yep. Right after this, that's what I'm doing.
But you were saying Evan.
Oh yeah, I can tell, dude. I can just tell. So I've watched him roll about three times.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch him in his tournament, and what's it called? But just from what I seen. The three roles I've seen him in, I can tell he was fucking around, but I can also tell that his guard is not one to be taken lightly. Yeah. It's very George-esque, but he has mm-hmm. the length to be more aggressive with mm. bigger people.
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen George destroy some people that are shorter, but when I roll with George, like, he can't shoot like, he can, but I'm going to stack him if he shoots a triangle on me.
Yeah.
You know? And George has submitted me, but... Like, he's more strategic about it with me than others.
Yes.
But, yeah, Evan, dude, I can just tell. I've watched him roll, like, three times. He's a killer.
Sorry. I'm very antsy today, so I'm moving a lot.
I was like, you trying to get my attention, brother? What's going on?
Footsie's with you, bro.
No, sir. No sir. No, no.
There was something you were saying. Oh, so disengaging. I said I like disengaging. I don't like disengaging in the sense of like, obviously I want to go forward. I want to like continue on my path. But this is kind of what I was talking about, surrendering and tapping out. Because I feel like, and I'll keep, since I've been using half guard, I'll keep using examples like tapping out of that moment. Tapping out of that moment of like, oh, I'm going to set this up and I'm going for position. And I feel like that's a lot of jiu-jitsu. Is realizing when to tap out, when you're losing that position, when you're losing that submission, and knowing just, I'm going to let go and move to something else. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, but the thing is, with guard players, this is another reason, like, I'll be choosy with who I back out against. Some of them are so good, they're going to get you back in that guard anyway. You know what I mean? You might as well, like, in my case especially, like, usually dangerous guard players have like a similar body type.
When you say guard players, can we be specific? Because there's open guard players, there's closed guard players. I'm talking about those open guard,
lanky dudes who...
Okay, okay.
Yeah, who just have crazy hard open guards to pass. Gustavo, I'm talking George, mm-hmm. I'm talking Evan. Those type of games, dude, I don't like backing out because it's just... Like, in a way, yeah, he's working his game. You can never do anything to completely stop someone's game. They're always going to be trying to get you in what they're getting you in. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a chess match. You have your pieces, and you have your abilities, and they have their pieces, and they have their abilities.
Yeah.
And it's just who's going to use theirs at the wrong time, who's going to use theirs at the right time, whose cardio is going to give first, who's going to... So I'd rather play that game than back out.
So talking about open guard and skill points, I almost feel like it's a waste to develop open guard, waste skill points and go open guard. And I know it's a very bold statement. Let me go back here. For self-defense.
Wait. Okay.
In a sports aspect, 100%, like, I think it's applicable. But when you go self-defense, the concepts of it are applicable. But the actual application of open guard, you're going to get punched or kicked in the fucking face. Like nothing is stopping your opponent or assailant from attacking you while you're trying to play your open guard game.
I'm conflicted because I don't disagree with you, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you, I'm extremely positive, right? Say, hypothetically speaking, someone with a similar guard to like Evan or George gets into a street fight. We know what we're doing.
Yes.
People in the street typically aren't going to know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're getting swept fast.
And agreed.
George is getting up. So, like, for certain aspects of open guard, yeah. To sit there and play with someone in open guard in a street fight would be different. But, like, I'm pretty sure in a street fight, they're going to get the sweep quick.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different situation. Same as in a tournament. People don't, like, play with them in their open guard. They get the sweep as soon as they can. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the only reason I'll disagree. But if you're someone who plays open guard and you get in a street fight and you sit there and play open guard in the street, like for whatever reason you're on the ground and you're trying to De La Hiva buddy, don't do that.
Yeah, and so that's why I say it's just from a self-defense standpoint. Like, don't get me wrong, I think from a sports standpoint, it adds another trick in the bag. Like, we're talking, go ahead.
Same thing with those toe ticklers.
Toe ticklers.
Heel hookers.
Oh, the heel. What about it?
I don't think.
Oh, like you're if you're not, trying to heel hook in a street
you're
fight?
Not, yeah, you're not. Yeah, That's not going off, dude. Especially because, like, you know, you generate a lot of power going down towards your foot.
Nah, yeah. It's just, look, from a sport aspect, I 100% see it. I consider it a little gimmicky sometimes when you throw in a lot of the pels and the leverage points, because a lot of it is like leverage based. And while that it's a skill to understand leverage and know how to apply it, I feel it's a little gimmicky because it can be shut down with someone who has good body position. And I've shut down good black belts who've tried to open guard on me by just body position alone. It's like, nope, you're not doing this. And they're like, and we can play this game of just kind of stalling it out.
Like I said, there's a lot that goes into it because we've said it 1,000 times. Everyone has their own skill set, whether it be your speed, your power, your strength. That all goes into every role, every combat type situation. And that's why I said it's that chess game. Like, you guys are in close quarters. Like, so... Whenever I'm going against an open guard player, they know I want to stack past them and then possibly cartwheel over. Mm. Or if I can, I'll just completely cartwheel over the guard if they start getting lazy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I have to feel that, you know? I have to wait until, like, I get the right cues to do that. And they know that I have to wait for those cues. So they can fake it. And then they can go for their sweep. Whenever I go for the jump, that's kind of how Rico got me low key.
Wow.
Because he was kind of playing, we're doing no-gi, and he got me in full guard. And then I started kind of stack passing and going to the side, and I was thinking about cartwheeling over. So pretty much what Rico did was he put his foot out to try and like block my hip, knowing that it would be like, okay, yeah, he's committing hard this way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and cartwheel over and take his back.
Yeah.
So as soon as I went for that cartwheel, forgetting that, like thinking that I can just cartwheel over and escape his butterfly, that wasn't the case. So I pinned on that leg, and then his other leg pretty much completed the sweep.
Okay.
And I did most of the work by leaving my feet.
He just gave it to him.
I don't know. He just kind of, you know, he beat me in the chess game.
Okay.
You know, and that's the difference. And, like, overall, I think that's the difference in belts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how good are you at the chess game of jiu-jitsu?
So let me ask you, when you think about jiu-jitsu concepts, what are some concepts that you think that are important for you to know from white belt and then maybe carry on all the way through your whole journey? And I say this because Evan mentioned just the concept of bring your knee and your elbow together in our last episode. And it got me thinking about...
Oh, like the little thing. Like, you're talking about the little intricate things. I don't know, bro, because there's so many, you know. There's so many, like, little intricate things that kind of, like, for lack of a better word, that will change everything for jiu-jitsu for you, yeah, or make things easier. Mm-hmm. So, but it's hard to know what people know and don't know. You know,
always protect your neck. That's one for me. Matter what, always protect your neck.
Okay, so if we're going off of that, I'll say keep your arms tucked. Look, T-Rex you arms? Start. You yeah, like yeah. if you get used to keeping your arms in here, especially when you're playing guard and you're on the defensive, chokes are going to go down. Like the percentage mm-hmm. of how many times you get choked is going down, and the percentage of how many arm bars you get caught on are going down. Another one, don't ever put your hands flat on a fat person, for real, dude. I will wrist lock the shit out of you. And I've got you on this, and then I think I even told you, I've got a few people. Anyone who puts their hands flat on me, especially if I'm already pressure passing, I'm going to shift my weight to your elbow. I like to towards where your hand is and just try and like grip your elbow.
Yeah.
Finish the wrist lock.
You've like, done it.
Stuff like that. I feel like that'll help like a lot of white belts. Don't fucking torque submissions for two reasons, right? The submissions work. They're proven to work, right? Mm-hmm. What's the difference between it setting in super fast and setting in slowly but surely? You know what I mean? Super fast, you guys are going to be in a dogfight and it's who burns out first. You know what I mean? Super slow, that's where you get those chokes that like, oh, I didn't even see it coming because your grips have been there for a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're holding a lapel choke and it's not like he's still moving and it doesn't seem super tight, be patient. So I guess for that one altogether, just patience.
Patience. Well, yeah. I mean, that's jiu-jitsu in general for sure.
Yeah. In some cases, it's kind of hard to say that when you're being fucking smothered.
Yeah. You were saying the T-Rex arms, and you were talking about how the percentage of your arm bars and chokes go down, that you get arm barred and your percentage you get chokes go down. And I 100% agree with that. One of the things that, and I'm pretty sure I've said it before, is every time I know my back is going to take it, my hands come here. Mm-hmm. Every time. Why? Because there's going to be an arm coming around this shoulder or this shoulder, no matter what. And if it doesn't, then they're attacking somewhere else. And I need to, like, then I can take a breather for a second and go, okay, let me, but still be alert that, hey, they can go to that neck at any time.
And then on top of that, have you ever had those people that like that double lapel grip from underneath?
You mean like the punch choke, the punch double lapel?
No, like when they take your back, they'll like get their hooks in and they'll take your lapel.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just holding you. Yeah, they're just holding you.
That grip will also kind of prevent that, like the lapels from being taken.
Mm.
That right here.
That makes sense.
It's kind of hard to get them from there.
Yeah,
you can, but it's.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. I want to make sure I understand.
So like that lapel grip that they use, it really only works if it gets all the way up into the armpit and they can control your posture.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, so this right here, if you're using that defense, it makes it harder for them to get that grip.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that would make sense because, like, it's pressed tight and in the crevice of your armpits keeps it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they can get it real shallow, but...
I hate when I know someone is just using it to hold me there. And I get using it to hold someone there to set something up, but holding me there just to hold the position because I've already beating you and you can't, you've already gone through your chain of submissions. And you don't know where else to go. So you're just trying to hold me and not lose the position. That's where I get pissed off about it. Yeah. Because I don't have an escape for it yet. Other than like, no, let me throw my head back in your head. And just like, fuck off me, bro.
That shit's funny, dude. I don't know. It makes me kind of annoyed. What? So like, as a big dude, right? Mm-hmm. I have, I feel like bigger dudes have a different like jiu-jitsu journey because there's an added aspect. So as a big dude, everyone kind of expects you to win, you know? Mm-hmm. So in tournament situations, it's a lose-lose. Like,
yeah.
You can win, you know, but after you win, people are going to be like, you're going to hear that he only won because he was big. He only won, like, things of that nature. Well, when people lose to you, it's going to be like, oh, well, I survived, so it was a moral victory. And shit like that fucking annoys me, dude. That shit has always annoyed me.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know why I brought that up. I just randomly thought of it. But.
So skill points, right? Skill points. I've always put some skill points into taking on big guys. Whatever that means, that makes sense.
I guess just hard. Just because someone's big doesn't mean they're going to beat you, dude. It really doesn't. Like I said, it's a chess game where he has his pieces, you have your pieces, and he has his skills, and you have yours.
Yeah.
You know? So, and like... being strong is a great attribute to have, but what are you going to do with it? You know what I mean? And then how long can it last? Can you be that? Can you be as strong as you possibly can for the full 6 minutes? Mm. Can you divide up your strength and portion when you're going to use it at the right time? And or do you just kind of blow your wad in 2 minutes and then, you know?
CrossFit guys.
Leave people disappointed.
Those are CrossFit guys. I love, like, the strongest. They're so strong. And I used to love, I was at this gym, and anytime he would get the head dude there, anytime he'd get CrossFit guys, he'd always try to put me against him. It was like, how do you feel? Are they strong? I'm like, yeah, but nothing I can't handle.
I'd rather deal with someone that's super strong than someone that's super fast and super efficient in their movements.
Yeah.
I'd pick the strong dude any day of the week.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But someone who's strong, methodical, and efficient with their movements, that's a different fucking problem.
That's, you know, one of the reasons why I put a lot of skill points into flexibility. Everyone's always like, oh, man, how are you so flexible? Da, 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 how you do this? How can you do splits? 4 to 5 years of stretching. I say it all the time. You don't want to know the answer. That's what it is. And I'm the type of person that's like, when I decide I want to put a skill point in something, I'm going to put every last skill point into it. Even if it's 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, it's going to happen. Go ahead.
So you just hone in on shit for like months at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just decide like where am I the weakest? What do I need to do? And then I'll just only do that behind closed doors. I don't care. Like, it's boring. It's a little boring, but like, just simple stuff of like standing up and down, right? I realized that, give me 1 second. So even standing up and down, like, I realized that I was favoring my right side. So I do this thing where I sit down, but I kind of put all the weight on one leg and I kind of drop to that side. But I realized I was only doing it on one side. So I spent the next couple of weeks practicing on my left side. Now my left side is just as good as my right side. And I know that's simple, but it's just that recognition of like, oh, I want to be able to do this on both sides. I don't want to be limited on this other side. I want to be able to do this both ways.
Nah, I get you. It's kind of the same as like this shit's going to sound super stupid, mm-hmm. but you know why? Like, so like some people in football really just struggle with switching their stance, like putting mm-hmm. their other hand down
yeah.
for whatever reason. And like, it's a slight twist in the body. It's nothing big, but it affects the way they get off the ball. So it's kind of like the same thing that like a lot of special players can play ball. Like a lot of players can, you know, but Like, that's one thing that, like, you have to teach yourself. You have to practice in football, like, getting off with both hands. And it seems so stupid, but it's like, no diddy. Well, you have to practice your fire off with both hands.
That's not even better, bro.
You have to, you know what I mean, dude. Just, you have to practice your stance with both hands.
Just got to do things with both hands, guys.
I know green hairs hate us.
Who?
Green hairs.
Who's green hairs?
Liberals.
Oh, speaking. Okay, so since we're, I'm going to jump off topic for a second. Yo, what's up with this? What's up with your boy getting shot at? Shots fired, homie.
I don't know, dude. I don't know, but he's the 50 Cent of politics right now, dude.
Bro. So okay, look. I'm going to take a very neutral stance on everything in a sense of it is what it is. I don't really care. Politics are politics. Nah, dude. So I will say this. I think it's crazy that I am alive and there was an assassination attempt on a former president who was running for president. Now, with that said, I would be a fool not to look at it and go, there's a lot of fucking question marks. And that's all I'll say about that.
All I'm going to say is it's like
that's this. My Forrest Gump. And that's all I'll say about that.
So I'm not, I get what you're getting at and I'm not going to disagree, but here's what I will say, you know, the way my mind works. Two things. A Republican would have hit the shot.
First off, anyone knows that if you're trying to kill somebody, you aim center mass. You don't aim for the head. It's too small of a target.
A Republican from Texas would have hit the shot.
Big facts.
And then the second thing is, like, Trump got more street cred than Biden right now. They might have won him the election. And now the Democrats' only chance is to get someone who's been shot more than Trump. So someone with more street cred than Trump. And their only option's 50 Cent at this point.
Their only option's 50 Cent. So you think the Democrats can run 50 last minute?
The whole I don't know much about politics, but those dudes were at a debate arguing about golf sports. It's a golf scores. It's a joke.
Wait, they had a debate and they were arguing about golf scores?
Yeah, bro. The debate was terrible. I don't know if you've seen it. Go back and check it out.
Bro, so I said, look. In 2020, Biden, I tapped out of all Biden, politics.
You know when babies like stare blankly into space and you know they're shitting themselves? Mm-hmm. Biden did that like four times. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was talking about. Even Trump was like, I don't know what he's talking about, but regarding healthcare, like it just looks like a joke already. So why not finish the joke and have 50 Cent run against...
I'm in because it does feel like that I don't know what this is. If this is not a simulation, it's something.
Oh, dude.
Just playbooks, just things.
Life just feels like The Simpsons right now.
Dude. It really does. And The Simpsons called a lot of this, which is even crazier. How is this not a simulation?
Shout out, guy. All I know is
it's God simulation. That's what I know.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'm just going to do my thing and do the stuff I like to do.
Is there a place for God in jiu-jitsu? I've been seeing a lot of Christian grapplers, like things going. And I know our man Jake Watson. Shout out Jake Watson. He's a devout Christian, and you know he's about grappling and jiu-jitsu.
Like I'm not a non-believer. You know, I believe there is a God, but I've never read the Bible. I don't go to church. I feel like there's a place for God anywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why not? You know, okay. Alex Pereira prays, like, he prays to his religion before every fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a place for it everywhere. And if that's what you believe in and that's where you feel like you get your motivation and your power from, I'm not going to judge that. At the end of the day, it's respectable. It's more respectable than someone who's just in there because they see red. Those are the motherfuckers that I'm like, dude. The day I get the green flag, I'm putting you to sleep, dog.
I thought you were team black, man. What's up with rolling these green flags over here?
Huh?
Thought you were team black. You talking about green flags, bro.
I'm talking about the dude gives me the okay. Choke that guy.
Okay. I thought we were on black flags because of House of Dragons, G. Nah. Yo, you were
team black. We fucking with Rhaenyra over here. Know what, guys? Light up. Let's get high on positivity.
Hey. But you know, and I'm gonna drink.
I'm talking about light up your. Let's light up your day. Let's light up your day with positivity.
Yeah. And I'm gonna drink some gratitude.
You know. Yeah. You know. I got a few. We already said it in the podcast. My brother had his baby.
Yeah.
Shout out, Lissa. You know,
Steve, Lissa.
You know,
crosses.
My vacations this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, my last, like, there was this guy at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know who he was. I was just kind of being myself. I thought he was a new hire because he was sitting where we put the new hires to do the computer work. So I was telling my homie at work some pretty raunchy fucking jokes, and the guy was laughing and like having a good time, and he was like the president of like the Arizona department. So I got away with being a dickhead at work. So
that's a huge positive. Let's get that, clap on that. Oh, one.
That, and he told me to beat my boss up, dude.
Oh shit!
They told him, they were like, yo, they're like Devontae and like Noah are gonna do jiu-jitsu next time he comes down. He's like, fuck him up, dude. He's like, fuck him up.
So you got the green light from your boss's boss to fuck him up.
I'm still not going to do it, dude. They made it seem like he was like, at least like a high blue belt. No, dude, he did it for like 4 months and then quit. And like, okay, he started trying it like 5-6 months ago.
Okay.
And
you know where he trains at?
He down in Arizona.
No. I thought you were talking about your boss.
Yeah, they live in Arizona.
Oh, they live.
Like,
okay,
my bosses live in Arizona, and they come, like,
copy.
Different stores.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's all I got. You know.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. What am I positive for?
Oh, one more. I know. I'm positive. Another bright spot of my day is my lady. You know, every day. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you agree the same.
I agree. I almost don't even want to say my lady, not because I don't love her, but just because, like, it feels so mundane. Oh, he talks about his lady every week. Well, it's because my lady takes damn good care of me, bro. That's why.
Well, I just know she likes when I shout her out on here, so.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Okay. Look, honestly, man, I'm really just positive. Again, pull a Carlos and just like, I'm positively alive, man. It's been, you know, it's been kind of a, I think last episode I was like, it was a rough couple of weeks. I don't know if it's rough, but it's just been kind of like stagnant, but a good kind of stagnant in the sense of like, I'm progressing in things I need to do, professionally, creatively. About the only thing slowing down is about jiu-jitsu.
It happens, you know? It happens.
Yeah, and this is, you know, I guess I'm positive. I'm in an environment to where I feel comfortable letting my jiu-jitsu slow down. Let me say that. I am positive that I'm in an environment where I feel comfortable letting my jiu-jitsu slow down. I always said that for me, I think I may have told you this, but this has always been behind closed doors. For me, it was always, once I get to purple belt, I'm taking a break. And I know I'm not even at purple belt, but I'm at that point where I feel like, not saying that I'm a purple belt, cause that, I think like that shit doesn't matter. But I mean, is like, I've always judged myself on the level of who I can beat and the belts they're at. Right. So for me, when I was a white belt, it's always been, can I handle white belts? Right. For me now, it's like, can I handle blue belts? Well, I'm at that point where I'm like, I feel like I can handle most, if not all, blue belts. There's anomalies. There's people who are better than me. I'm not saying that, but like, I can walk into almost any room and be like, blue belt, I can get out of any position you put me in. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, what do you mean by like handle?
I just mean my challenges aren't at blue belts anymore. My challenges are at purple belts. My challenges are at brown belts. My challenges are at black belts. And those were always challenges, but I just feel at this moment that, like I said, if I walk into a room, almost any room, I can hang with the blue belts there, if not beat most of them.
Oh, no. I've always had a he bleeds like I bleed mentality. So the belt doesn't really matter to me. I just know that it comes, because I just learned very quickly on in jiu-jitsu. because my one of my first gyms had like a legit chart, and it told you like this month we do this half the month, and we do this half the month, and we do this half the month, and then I realized halfway through the year it just repeated. We did everything for like 2 weeks, and then it just repeated.
Yeah,
and I went to a different school after that, and then I realized at that gym it wasn't the same order, but you do the same shit for like half a year, and then it repeats.
Yeah,
you know, so I just kind of realized that the higher belts have just learned that move that many more times.
Okay.
That's really all it is. But are they, and like, yeah, that comes with advantages on when to use them, how to use them, the little tricks, you know, but.
Let me be clear about slowing down. I'm slowing down in a sense to like perfect my teaching ability and to study more. Okay. Because where I feel I'm at, and this goes back into what I was saying, just going into any rooms, like you're talking about those people who have practiced those moves that many times. Short of Ross, short of anyone at like headquarters, so to say, Machado, John Chuck Machado's, or someone from that type of gym, it almost doesn't matter how many times you practice it. I know an escape. I know my body. I know what I can and can't do. And I don't feel encumbered by people just because they've practiced something multiple times. I'm like, oh, I can tell. Like, I can tell. I was like, oh, that's your thing. You've done that. Okay, cool. I just won't let you get there. I'll shut that down and move out of there. Or if I get there, I know I'll let you get there. If I get there, I'm going to see what you do with it.
Yeah, it really just depends. Like, it depends on the game. It really depends on the game. If it's something that I'm comfortable with letting them do, I'll play into it because then it just kind of plays into what I like. Like, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
What do you like?
Like I said, like I like being able to pressure and then use my athleticism. You've seen how I use my body and like spin and end up in side control or cartwheel over, just like little shit like that. That I'm able to do that when people are so focused on trying to stop me from moving forward. And then whenever my body reverses or does the complete opposite of what they're trying to do, it's kind of like opening a closed door on someone.
Yeah.
Like they're pushing, and then you're just gone.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to do stuff like that. Because like not only do whenever it's successful, because it doesn't work every time. Nothing works every time. But when it's successful, like, they're pushing so hard against my body. Usually their body opens up a little more so I can come into a hook.
Yeah.
Or just stuff like that.
It's that push and pull concept.
And that all comes from football for me. Okay. I came into jiu-jitsu with that push and pull concept very much kind of already embedded in what I like to do athletically.
And maybe that's why I've already, I don't want to say I've already, but like when I came into this, I kind of understood this because I think I've always kind of understood that push and pull from sports. It's just that, oh, you're going to give me all this energy. Well, if I just step out this way, your energy is going to keep going that way. I don't have to like stand here and take your energy. I can redirect your energy to my purpose.
The only people I don't do that push and pull shit with is whenever I feel that they're a judo person.
Nope.
And like,
no.
I wanted to learn judo because my grandpa was a judo guy, RIP. My grandpa was a judo guy, so I made sure to like learn judo, but judo is fucking painful. and not only is it painful, that shit happens so fucking quick and it's so dangerous. So fucking dangerous.
Yeah. That's why, you know, look, I would do judo. I don't think I, going back now, before we go, let's go back and do this. We're talking about skill points. We're talking about tapping out and surrendering. Let's tap out right now. Let's pretend we can wipe this whole slate clean. You can start over. Your body's fresh. You're 18. You know, you have the understanding, knowledge of jiu-jitsu that you have now. How do you build your game? Where do you put your skill points? What do you do? And just fuck jiu-jitsu, martial arts. Let's go martial arts.
And I'm as athletic as I was at 18?
Yeah, yeah. My man's like, I'm a monster.
I'm not gonna lie. Because I got deep into jiu-jitsu around, like, what, 22. I've been doing it for, like, 7-8 years, so, like, 22.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not that big of a gap, but 18, the energy. I would have threw everything. I would have threw a lot. So, we're talking martial arts or just jiu-jitsu?
Let's do martial arts, but with a jiu-jitsu focus, obviously. Because I think striking is important. So I guess let me tell you where this question comes. This question comes from is we were talking about the various guards and people who specialize. There are people who specialize in open guard. There are people who specialize in half guard. There are people who specialize in closed guard. People who specialize in mount. So these specializations, I feel like when you specialize in something, you kind of lose somewhere else. Unless...
I'd specialize in finishing. Mm-hmm. Closed guard passing. Those are the three that mm-hmm. I would, like, very, very heavily, like, hone in on. And then I'd also throw some into open guard and stuff like that. Because, like, dude, when I was 18? Yeah, nah, dude. That's exactly what I would do, dude. Finishing, close guard, and passing. Actually, passing, finishing, close guard. I'd do passing first.
Why passing?
Because if someone can't stop you from passing, they really can't stop you from getting into a finishing position. You know what I mean? And I get that, like, open guard is kind of, like, popular and all that like that. But that's why Rico's so successful, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Rico's such a great wrestler that it's very easy for him to pass and get to finishing positions.
Yeah.
You know? And that's exactly why. Like, I'd focus on passing every kind of guard, closed guard, so open guard.
You don't think that if you have a good open guard, you'll never have to worry about anything else? Because then no one can pass your guard and you'll never end up in these bad positions?
Just so I'm thinking of myself at 18. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of energy, but it was still possible for me to get burnt out.
Yeah.
And the way... Like, I'm athletic, but I've never been the most athletic. I'm strong, but I've never been the strongest. Like, Archie's stronger than me. It's not even, like, a question.
Okay.
So I've always, like, I've treated my athleticism and my cardio as a gas tank, you know? You don't fucking pedal to the metal for 6 miles straight, you know? Like, you give a little here, you give a little there. And my game from a very early point... has been really patient.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of why I chose those three. You know, because I'm assuming the style I like wouldn't really change. I'd still use my athleticism and sparingly, because I've always been like that.
Okay.
So that's why I chose those ones.
Defense into offense. That's always been my game, and somehow it still is, even though I still like to attack.
Well, the thing is good defense comes to counters, which leads to open attacks.
Which is why I own that mantra, defense into offense, because that exact thing is like, my concept is any battle I go into, okay, that doesn't mean don't strike first, but that means, like, if you strike, be prepared for that strike not to work. Whatever, I'm not saying striking, but, you know, like, say I'm going for a grip, that be prepared for that grip not to work. So once that grip doesn't work, know that you're going to be on defense right away. You're going to play defense. When that time opens up, when that person gives you that arm, you can redirect their energy and arm drag them and take whatever the case is. That's when that offense comes in.
I don't know why, but I get a lot of arm drags like that. So I mm-hmm. do two things. I'll reach out first, right, mm-hmm. with the lapel. And most people are going to swipe their hand.
Yeah.
But football's all hand game. So I'll reach out, pull back, and while their hand's out there, arm drag.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, shit like that. That's a, you know, just misdirection.
Yeah. You know what I like is, like, when people put my arm out, they arm drag you, but they don't realize that they can be re-arm dragged back. And it's actually to my advantage, and most of the time, if you don't react to it, I'm gonna win that exchange. That's what I love.
You know that shit I do when I walk up to people and I give them my hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
That shit started because people would, like, do this shit where they would, like, I am where I am now, but when I first started, I got, like, I'd get people and, like, death grip them. Mm-hmm. So it started with, like, people, like not wanting to interact with me. So, yeah. like, if I give them my hands first, it kind of, like, gives them a false sense of security. Like, oh, he's going to play with me. But no, I can take that fucking undergrip and crawl up into arm drags. And that's really the main reason I like it.
Like, I kind of low-key picked that up from you. Like, I watched you do it, and then I think, you know who else kind of does it? Is Ross. Mm-hmm. Kind of just comes in just like...
And then he falls into that weird ass half guard, dude. I don't know how he does it.
We gonna stop hating on my man.
I don't know how he does it, dude. What is that?
It's
what
beautiful. Is that? It's beautiful. Is what it is.
It's fucking crazy. It's something that only he can do, dude. And at the rate he does it, I want him to do it to me. I want to see like what it feels like, because I can tell that the person that it's happening to, they can't do shit about it.
No, don't remind me.
it just looks crazy. It looks crazy, dude. Shout out Ross.
On that, we're gonna tap out. It is that time. Never, we got some positivity out. No, that's the point. You have to know when to tap out.
Never.
You gotta know when to surrender.
Live.
Live. I'm never letting this live joke go. Every time you say live, I would say live. I don't care. It's just like, you know, like how it's like read and red. It's the same fucking word. Get out of my face. I don't have time for this shenanigans. Oh, thank you, my jujitsu, for tapping in. We appreciate you very much.
You know, and how it always is, like, comment, subscribe, share. Kendrick's song of the week, Not Like Us, go give it a listen. I don't know if you guys heard it before. It's everywhere.
He won.
He definitely won, but let's definitely drive those listens up some more. Yeah. Let's keep it going. And as always, if you want to smoke, hit up Jay.
Like I said, hit me up. Whatever. IG. Let's go.
He's scared.
Y'all stay blessed. We out.